Christian blessing, and with love to us inclined. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It's he." Others kept saying, "No, but it's one like him." And he kept saying, "I'm he." But they kept asking him, "Then how are your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight, and they asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "And I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You've seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. If you've been hanging with us a while, you can probably see some of the themes in this reading that connect with the others from John that we've had over the last few weeks. Both the Pharisee Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman are born blind too. They have vision, their eyes work, but they can't see, can they? Can't see who Jesus is. Samaritan woman gets close enough at the end to invite others to come and see, but she doesn't quite get as far as the man born blind does today. This man is born blind, and after his encounter with Jesus, he has vision, his eyes work, and then at the end, he really sees. He sees who Jesus is. And his response is not only, "I believe," but he worships Jesus. Devotes himself to Jesus. A full acknowledgement of who Jesus is according to John. God's Son, come into the world not to condemn it, but to save it. Now, one thing that's interesting is this man does not ask to be healed, to be able to see. He has this tangible physical interaction with Jesus, spit and dirt. He follows Jesus' command to go and wash, and then he returns with his vision restored. And there's something about this encounter with Jesus that fundamentally changes the man such that his neighbors can't recognize him. This can't be the same beggar guy, can it? I wonder if that phenomenon was not something that the community John was writing to could understand. That idea that your neighbors didn't recognize you anymore. I wonder if they'd kind of nod their heads in agreement when they heard this read to them as they gathered, because at some point they too had an encounter with Jesus. It might have been through a follower of Jesus who they ran into in their hometown. It might have been when they were invited to worship with the assembly of believers, but somewhere along the way they experienced Jesus coming to them in and through the Word, lived and spoken, and it captured them. And in the washing of baptism, the eating of the meal, their eyes were fully opened, and they not only believed Jesus was the Son of God, but they worshiped Him. They devoted themselves to Him. And the change in their behavior, their attitude, their interactions with their neighbors would have been noted. The book of Acts and historical documents around the time of the early church says Christians were known for their generosity, especially to widows and orphans, those who had no other means of support in their society. They were known for their care for everyone who was part of their assembly. And they would have withdrawn from participation in the worship of any of the pantheon of gods that were present in the community, something that would have put them out of step with the rhythms of life in those communities, such that people might have said to them, "I don't recognize you anymore. Why are you acting so strangely?" Now you might say, "Well, this can't possibly apply to us because, well, we don't have a pantheon of gods that we worship today, certainly not here in the U.S. But let's consider that. Martin Luther defined a God as the thing you fear, love, and trust the most. The thing you devote yourself to day and night that shapes the rhythm of your life. And that makes me wonder about sports, both participation and watching it. Makes me wonder about money and work. Makes me wonder about politics. Are there things other than being a follower of Jesus that we devote ourselves to day and night, that if we shifted our focus, our attention, our time to other things, people would wonder, who are you? And if so, then those might be our gods. The ones that govern the rhythm of our lives, that when we stop participating in them, our neighbors notice and comment. Here's what I know about life that the text tells us. First, we're all born blind. We can't see with the eyes we're born with who Jesus really is. Our vision is clouded with other things, but we sure think we know what's going on, just like Nicodemus and the other Pharisees. Second, somewhere along the line, we have our own encounter with Jesus. Just like the man born blind, we don't ask for it, but we bump into him and suddenly we have mud and spit in our eyes and Jesus says, hey, go wash that stuff off. And we come out with new vision. For many of us, we were just kids and suddenly we're getting washed, whether we like it or not. But it could be that we're out and about in the world and suddenly Jesus is with us by the gas pump. Or in the grocery store, telling us everything there is to know about who we are, and we come away seeing him for who he is. Paul reminds us in Ephesians, once you were in darkness, but now in Jesus, you live in the light. So live as children of the light. Be what you already are, salt and light. Sound familiar? Paul says, you have been freed from bondage to those other things. You see their relative value in contrast to devotion to God and to our neighbors. And that freedom from all that binds becomes freedom for serving our neighbors. And that is the gospel. And when we lean into that truth, it changes us in a way that people notice. Not like new haircut or new threads, but more in a, you're different kind of way. The neighbors argue over whether this is the same man, and he kept saying, yep, it's me. But they wonder about his cure. How are you fundamentally changed? And his response is to tell the story of his encounter with Jesus. Look, I don't know what this is, but let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you my experience. The Samaritan woman did the same thing at the well, didn't she? A little different, though. She bore witness to her neighbors of her encounter with Jesus like this. She said, he told me everything about me. And then she had an invitation. Come and see. Come check this guy out. The encounter with Jesus brings controversy to the man born blind. And the neighbors who disagreed over what happened bring him to the religious authorities, who are already in disagreement over who Jesus is. They ask the man, how are you so fundamentally changed? So the man tells his story, simply bears witness to the effect that Jesus had on his life. The argument of the Pharisees is over the law. Remember Nicodemus? Because they can't see either, but they sure think they do. It's about the law. He can't be of God. He breaks the Sabbath by doing work. Healing is work. He's doing work on the Sabbath. And others are saying, yeah, but can he really be a sinner if he's doing this kind of healing? And so they turn to the poor guy and, well, what do you say? And his response echoes the Samaritan woman. He must be a prophet. Now, some of the authorities still aren't convinced, so they bring in his parents. Not believing this man had been born blind to begin with. Well, he wasn't even blind. It's fake news. And his parents also give straight up testimony. Yep, that's our son. Yep, he was born blind. Now he sees. Now who did it? We don't know. Ask him. The, their fear in this situation is pretty obvious. And here again, I wonder if the community of John would have recognized that, that there are consequences even for the families of believers in that time. And so the man gets brought back in, and he's asked to make a confession to God. Give God the praise and speak truthfully about Jesus. He's a sinner, right? But the man stands firm. Look, I don't know about that. Here's what I know. I was blind, now I see. Full stop. That's his witness. Not asking for a commitment, not even making one. It's just laying out his story and saying, you guys decide. And when they ask how that came to be, the man, I kind of hear it, he gigs them a little bit. I already told you how that came to be, but you won't listen. Why do you want to know? And you can almost see little innocent eyes. Why do you want to know? Oh, do you want to become his disciples? They pounce on this. So, you're one of his disciples, huh? See, we know God has spoken through Moses, but what about this schmuck? We don't know who's speaking through him. And the blind beggar, the one who now sees clearly how this encounter is going, says, you don't know where he comes from, but he healed my blindness. Who do you think could do that? Look, God will not listen to sinners, but those who obey God and God's will, he has to be from God. And the leaders, insulted by this, drive him out, because even though their eyes work, they are blind. Jesus hunts for the guy and finds him. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't ask to be healed, and it's Jesus who hunts him down after he's kicked out. He says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Yes, the guy says. Who is he that I may believe? It's me. Echoes of last week. And the man, once blind, replies at once, Lord, I believe. That's last week. But he goes farther. And he devotes himself to Jesus. He worships him. Friends, Jesus has met us at the well. He comes to us through that story, through these people who strive together in this community, imperfectly, but strive to follow Jesus. Jesus has met us along the way and opened our eyes, but do we really see? Jesus has bumped up against us, has spread mud and spit on our eyes, told us to go wash. And he comes to us through this story and through people around us who carry Jesus with them every day. Jesus meets us on the way and has opened our eyes, but do we really see? You've heard this from me before, but my favorite verse in Scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark. It's the father of the epileptic boy who cries, I believe, help my unbelief. And so perhaps today our cry is, I see, help me to see. Just as it has been, I am salt and light, help me to be salt and light. If we see, when we see who Jesus really is, when we listen to the witness of our siblings in Christ who have an encounter with Jesus in the depths of their own brokenness, a Jesus who says, I love you. I forgive you. Do not be afraid. The witness of those who have had their own lives turned around, when we see that Jesus, everything changes. We are salt and light. Oh Lord, help us to be salt and light. We are beloved children of God. Lord, help us to be beloved children of God. Friends, we once were blind. Now we see. Oh Lord, help us to see. Amen.